This meeting is now being recorded.
Hi Milena.
Hi Abdul Munam.
Hi Zeed, how are you?
Fine, thanks.
Hi Zeed, how are you?
How are you, Abdul Munam?
Fine, thank you. I miss you a lot, Zeed. I wish to see you and Nabil in Hyderabad, but this is from my bad luck.
Ah. Me too. I miss you.
Thanks.
Abdulman, you have passed a good meeting in Hyderabad.
What? Could you repeat again, please?
What about the meeting in Hyderabad?
Nothing is good there. Maybe it's a good thing there. It's spicy.
Assalamu alaikum. Hello, everyone. This is Rad Al-Faiz.
وعليكم السلام.
السلام عليكم.
أهلا، كيف حالكم يا شباب؟
Hello everyone.
الحمد لله. Hello.
السلام عليكم. This is Sharmad. How are you guys doing?
السلام عليكم دكتور شارمان.
Okay, so while I guess we're waiting for others to join, I was not able to set my agenda. I guess we're still recuperating from the ICANN 57 meeting and travel, so sorry about that. But I think one of the things we should probably do is for Abdul Munam's on here, one thing we could start with is request him to summarize his interaction in the context of Universal Acceptance Act at the ICANN meeting and maybe discuss what he thinks are next steps in that context. I guess we can also come back and look at, you know, as far as our other work is concerned, the second level tables, what should be our next steps in that context as well. So, in any case, it's 5 minutes over already. I guess we can probably get started. So, Abdul Monam, if you could take us through, maybe summarize your interaction there, and in your opinion, how we should proceed forward in the context of UA, considering your interactions at ICANN 57.
Yes, sure, Dr. Sarmat. Should I start now? The first thing I should be clear with all the team that I saw what Chinese people do in their presentation for developing the testing cases for AI for international email address, and I see that there is a lot of some tests missing in our report to UASG. So we should circulate these changes to our report to USG, and this is the first thing. Second thing, which is important for me, that we have to test more in AAR. I already started the testing of international email addresses for multiple clients, like BHY email, and Don Hollander of the chair of USG, if I remember well, told me that I have to use, there is an Indian software called Exigen Data, which is fully compatible with IDN, that can be used for sending and receiving email in IDN in any language. This email client is for free for trial for 30 days. We should use this and test what is the problem. What if there is an issue that should be reported to ESG? I already started the negotiation with this Indian company, asking them to get me a free mail client they have about Exigen data, and they try to use this inside my lab environment. But I think they refused this inside this mail and told me this is a new software for Android. You can install it at your machine for trial. So this is the first of the negotiation. But I think at the end, I will convince them to give me this software or supply them my credential to our post-fit SMTB and IMAP server, so I can test their software from their position there in India to my mail server here. This is the second thing. The third thing, which is important for me also, we have to contribute in all USG meetings. There is a lot of important information there. Yeah, that's all. This is the executive summary, Dr. Sarma. Is it clear?
Yes, clear.
So I guess a follow-up question would be that in case of next steps, separately for domain names and for email internationalization, you know, what do you think are next steps as far as UASGs, and what should we do on our side for that?
Yes, the next step, that's why I am doing now, is to set up my mail server that is fully compatible with AI and test various email clients with my IDN host name, IIDN local part of the domain name, mailbox, and see and submit the report that this email client is working well, this is not working well, how to test, to develop test cases, what is the test cases used to tell them that this software is good, this software needs some improvement. This is the next step for me. So what I am doing now, and send a lot of mails to Don Hollander at UA, UASG work, mailing list, and I encourage you all to join the UA Discuss mailing list that have a lot of important information for AAR. Okay, Dr. Sarmad, is it clear?
Yes, so anybody have any questions or comments?
Dr. Sarmad, could I share the presentation, all the presentations of USG with the task force IBM members?
Sure. So I think what would be a good idea is that if you have access, could you create a folder for UA and copy the presentations there in the Dropbox, and then email everybody the you know, a note that these presentations are available so people can see it. Unless if you think the presentations are small enough, then you can just email to everybody. Either way is fine, I think.
Okay, I will. Also, this is an important thing for me that I am so late for developing, for adding the test cases inside .mas. As the last time, I was very, very busy, and I hope I will do that tomorrow. And I will keep you updated all the time.
Okay, so regarding documenting the test cases, are we done with that? Because we still had to update USG004, I think that was the test case document. I forwarded the email from Don Hollander to all of us. And one of the things it said was that they are wanting to update it, and he said the discussion is underway. So are you communicating with him, or who's communicating with them, and are we giving them the exact test cases or test case templates? How is that working out? I guess if you know anything about that.
I think, Doctor, the document is full enough of test cases, but I think we missed only to add the test pattern, the example of these test cases. That is what I wish I do that tomorrow, and we'll back to you to add this inside the document and submit this document back to USG if no other comments from my colleagues.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
also, Doctor, there is a request. If my brother could help me with any information about Ordi, how to install Ordi at my local environment to test as a work as an email client to test AI inside my lab environment, it will be good for me as a test case, as a test for email client.
This is Raed. Actually, I haven't done it myself, but I can coordinate with the technical teams to help you whatever you want. If you have any questions, just send it to me personally, and I can, whatever information you need, I can ask the guys here to prepare something, the manual or what they have done exactly to install Hordi. Okay?
Thank you. Thank you, Raed. You are
حياك الله.
All right. So, any last comments on this discussion? So, just to summarize what Abdul Monam's said as next steps is that he's creating some actual registrations, which will help us check the different cases, and once those have been done based on the templates we've decided, we'll put that into the document and forward that to USG for them to update the documents. So that's one thing. As far as EAI is concerned, I guess Abdul Monam's trying to connect with extend and see if we can have a platform to test the email addresses, which will also be generated. So these email addresses are also be going to be generated on .missy, or is those email addresses going to be generated somewhere else?
Dr. Sarmad, I can't hear you well. Could you repeat again the last words?
For the email addresses in Arabic script, are you also considering developing those on .missy and then use the XGen tool to test them, or how is that? How are you setting that up?
Yes, you are talking about the configuration of the mail client to for Boost FX to support AI, Doctor?
Yes. So, where will these mailboxes be set up?
Yes, there is various mail clients, Doctor, that fully compatible with IDN mailboxes. So the first thing we have to do first is to set up mail server that is fully compatible with AI. That is what I do now, what I did. My mail server is fully compatible and have the tag of SMTP UTF-8 inside the configuration of PostFix and can send in an email to Arabic email address, inside the local environment, and can receive an email for Arabic, full Arabic email address to the server. But I have a problem now that my operating system can't recognize the UTF-8 Arabic mailbox. So if I receive an email for the mailbox called Abdelmanam in Arabic, I can't receive it. I receive it at the log, but can't route it to the actual user at my mail server. Okay.
Okay. So then, I guess if we don't have it set up, the question is then how do we test it?
What, doctor? I can't hear you. Your voice is too low for me.
Right. So I guess my question was that how do we test? If it is not set up, then what is the best way to test it?
Yeah, okay. I will do another two machines. One of them will be in India for XGen data and at my credential and my PostFix configuration there to send me an email and send there an email. Okay? This is the one mail client and there is another installed mail client. I will use to send from this mail client to other mail client using my mail server.
Okay. All right. So I think it may actually also be useful to somehow document this in a way that I guess all of us, you know, you can share with us how this is being set up and what is being tested. And then once we, I guess, start testing it, then we can move forward. All right, so...
Dr. Sarmad?
Yes.
Dr. Sarmad? Ziyad from Tunisia. In the UAC workshop in Hyderabad, it was a discussion about open source platform or pilot project to called the Zensar UAC analyzer. Perhaps you can use this platform or pilot project to validate our test case. That's all.
It's
Abdelmanan.
Yes.
Yeah. Please. The name of the tool and what it's used for. Could you repeat it again?
The tool is named Zensar. Zensar. Zensir. UIC. Universal Acceptance Community Analyzer. Presented in the workshop in Hyderabad. If you want, I can send you a snapshot of slide shared during this workshop?
Let me check the presentation. Oof, there is the software inside my workshop, but I didn't discuss in maybe this the software is was discussed today, but I didn't notice that. Let me check the presentation and back to you again, Ziad. Okay, and I will send you all of you the
okay.
presentation of USG.
Okay.
Go ahead, Dr. Sharma.
شكله انقطع الخط. دكتور صرمد is here.
He seems to be here, but he might be lost the connection.
Yeah,
he just,
okay.
Just be here on the AT room, but his line. Dr. Sarmat, can you hear us? Just wait a couple of seconds, please. Thank you.
Yeah, sorry.
Abdulmanam, I have... Okay.
So... I'm back. So thank you, Abdulmonam, and all. So I think we have next steps as far as this is concerned. Let's then switch to our second piece of work, which we've been working on, and that's the second level tables. And I guess we'll just very quickly go through the status of those tables. Raid actually had sent me a question, and they'd done an experiment as well, not been able to respond to it for past week or so because of the conference. I'm really sorry for that, but I've now responded. But in any case, I think Raid, please, you know, if you could give a brief overview of what's going on with Arabic, and then we can request Ahmed for Urdu, and I guess then we don't have anybody else from other communities, so let's at least do these two, and then I guess see what we should do next. Over to you, Raed.
Okay, this is Raed. Actually, regarding the Arabic language, we haven't done so much. Just only one item is pending, is the THAC code point with the noon with the three dots above the similarity. And there was a discussion within the Arabic and between me and Dr. Sarmad about how we can, address this relation, because we believe it represents a security threat to the Arab users. I have done a small site survey, and I have done a small survey in some of maybe more than 31 users here in my work that are not related to technology, and most of them thought that the tha with three dot above is tha actually. Anun with three dot above is tha. And it was, I shared the practice within the Arabic small group, the Arabic group responsible for the Arabic language, and I encourage everyone to do the same practice. So, of course, there is risk if we haven't addressed this relation to be variants or handle it in a way to protect the domain namespace. We haven't reached a conclusion. What we all realize that or agree on that these two code points have some effects on the security for the domain namespace, and they need to be resolved. So either we put them as, I'm not sure, variant, or have a rule, or have something else to disable having two users registering the same domain name using these two code points. Other than that, we have reached a final stage for the Arabic language table. And the only remaining items, actually, it's not related to the Arabic. It's something common between all languages. And I may send an email maybe after our phone conference, which address the numbers. So the relation or the similarity between Alif and number one, maybe dot and number zero. We have number five and ha. So these issues need to be addressed also. That's it for the Arabic language.
Any comments or questions by anybody here? So let's do a brief, I guess, overview of we are regarding Urdu. Then I'd actually like to make a comment on what Raed also said. But let's, so we have Ahmed who just said that there's no update on Urdu language. There was a table shared, and I think that's final from our side. So I think then probably Ahmed, you think, well, based on what we finalized for Arabic and generally finalized for second level, we may need to add more information to it, similar to what is being added to the Arabic language table as well, because we said we will consistently do that across all languages. So that portion needs to be added, of course. And then eventually, once we've added that portion, then I guess we are ready, or even before that, I think question would be that what should be next steps as far as work which is getting finalized is concerned. Should we do a public comment through TFAIDN, get people's feedback, how do we within TFAIDN once we've, so I see sort of two, three steps as far as work within TFAIDN is concerned. First level of work would be, what is the core language level table, which captures the code points, variants, and those sort of things within the language. Then we said we're going to add another layer to all the language tables, which covers things from a script perspective. I guess those are things which are added to the Arabic language table as well. We had a discussion around it. So those are add-ons beyond the core language the table, which we think should be essentially included in the language level. So as a next step, I guess that needs to be added. And then all this obviously needs to be finalized within TFAIDN. And then at some point, we need to go outside TFAIDN, go to the community, make sure everybody looks at it, gives us feedback, and perhaps, or at least that's my suggestion, and get community feedback before we finalize things on TFAIDN level and then, release that on behalf of TFAIDN to the community. Maybe what we should do is probably document sort of this process as well. I can try to write something based on what we finalize here. Maybe let me stop here and ask you on whether, should we do a three-step process or should it be maybe add more steps in this process? So, what do you guys think? So just to try and very quickly summarize, what I'm suggesting is a three-step process. Step one is do a language level analysis and develop the, decide what is in the language and not in the language and so on. Then, based on whatever we agreed in Istanbul, do that script level analysis and add those additional things which are needed for us, security, stability, variants across script, confusability, those kind of things we are addressing. And then third step is that once it's all complete, then do a public comment from TFAIDN. So that's my suggestion. And what do you guys think? Would this be sufficient or we do more?
Oh, yeah, so this is Raiz. Yes, I think we should continue on what we have agreed in Istanbul. Like what you said, Dr. Sarmad, I believe we should have language-level analysis and script-level analysis, maybe international reachability between language, the supported language, so it does how each language can reach the code points for other languages for international reachability. And then we can continue our work. But I believe at least for the ready languages, these all need to be captured and documented and reflected. This is my opinion. Thank you. Hello?
I can hear you all right.
Oh, okay.
Right, Dr. Sarmad has lost the connection.
Oh.
He's back, I guess.
Oh.
Sorry, I keep dropping off. Okay, so thank you, Raiz. So what I'll do is I'll try to document this process and circulate to everybody, you know, just 3-4 steps, as Raiz was saying, and we then take each of these language tables through those steps. Okay, so any comments? Questions so far before we move on to this, back to the discussion which Raiz had initially suggested? Okay, so then let me, I guess, go back to the comment which Raiz had made, and again, at this time, this is just my thinking, but it seems like, you know, we've actually looked at code points, we have looked at variants of code points, but we've eventually found out that there is more which needs to be done, and basically, we've actually identified already one thing in a couple of things in that context. First of all, we said that beyond language, we do the script level analysis for variants. And then we also added this international reachability feature, which we thought was important from a consumer perspective. However, the recent discussions we've been having, it seems like there is another item which I think may be added to this list, and that is the, you know, string similarity kind of issues and possible security issue it can cause, and how to manage that within the context of the LGRs which we are proposing. We've actually been discussing whether this can be or should be managed through the variant mechanism which we have, and I think there are obviously multiple points of view there. One of the things, and this has come come up because of the discussion we are having on the say, the bay with three dots above and the noon with three dots above. And, you know, the experimentation which Raed has shared, I guess, internally within the Arabic working group clearly shows that based on the fonts and font sizes, there is confusability between those two letters, which can potentially cause a security kind of challenge going in certain contexts. And, you know, a question, I guess, is how do we note that and how do we deal with that? What I was actually going to suggest is that we look at this string similarity issue, and you know, I personally think that there may actually be other cases in addition to this case if we start looking and try to identify those cases and then document those cases either in some ways, either as, for example, WLE rules or just documentation text inside LGR warning the users to do some similarity reviews like they are done for top level when strings are processed. Not really sure what would be the most feasible way forward, but I think one of the things we do need to discuss, and so I'm not presenting a solution here, but I think presenting a problem here, that there seems to be this string similarity problem which exists. And as a community, I think we need to both identify where this exists and also perhaps define a mechanism or a solution to address it. So that's just my initial thoughts. Raya, do you want to respond back to what I just said? And anybody else you guys want to make a comment or you know, suggestions on how we should sort of proceed in addressing this? So Raya first, and then I guess we can open up for everybody.
Yes, this is Raed. Yes, I agree with you, Salman. That's this is an issue, and we need to have a solution for that. But based on my experience, the end result that we have is the XML file, and the XML file you can do this in only two ways, something like that, like defining like a variant and put it blocked. Or have the other option that I believe it's not suitable for our case is have a rule, a WLE rule. But I believe it's in my knowledge, it's so difficult to say don't use tha and noon with three dots above. So actually, this is I'm not sure. In my opinion, the only way is to either it is through variants. The question here: shall we have add it as in one of the variant principle or have another principle that document this kind of relations and then we put this case into it. This is, you know, for me, doesn't matter. The matter for me is you need to capture this relation and deny having two strings that are very similar from the user's perspective. When I show it to the guys, I use the same Windows, Arabic Windows, you know, browser. It was Explorer, so everyone was confused with the current. You know, it's not something that I have changed or I played with the font. No, I use the current Windows and Explorer, Windows 7, Explorer 11, and I print it and show it to the guys. Everyone was confused actually, and they cannot differentiate between the two letters. And the example I use is the dal with tha dot mawqa and dal with noon with three dots above with mawqa. So I show them first the noon with three dots, hide the image, show them the second image, ask them, do you see any difference? Most of them say no differences. Some of them, they said there are some differences some differences, but most people cannot see it. Even when I show it to some guys, the both images for noon with three dots and third, they cannot see the differences. So I know we are experts and we see through expert eyes, and I know that these two letters are used in the Jawi alphabet, and they can differentiate between them, but from Arabic user perspective, they cannot. And I have more faith in that, and I was, you know, I have more power when I saw lots of people here have got confused. So I was so afraid from these two characters, and I believe they need to be addressed, and any registry in the second level, they need to make sure if someone register one, the second cannot be registered by other user. So this is my opinion, and this is my finding. Again, I summarize, I believe the only way from the end result, the tools that we have in our hand, which is the XML file, the only way to do it is through having them variant. If we want to have a new principle for them to cover them, I don't mind. But at the end, we need to protect the domain space by making these two either variant or similar or just whatever you name it. This is from my point of view. Thank you.
Dr. Sharmat?
Please go ahead.
In my opinion, I think that we can document this issue in a separate section. It's called string responsibility issue or possible security issue, separated from the variant issue. Okay?
Yep. Okay. Thank you, Ziad. Anybody else? So if there are no more comments, then, you know, again, I think what I was saying was similar to what I think Ziad also said. I think he probably said it better, that, you know, I think we all agree that this is it causes a security problem, and that's very clearly documented by, you know, the detailed experiment with Ryan shared. And I think I think it's that was a very useful exercise. But I think it may still be useful to flag this as a security issue related to similarity of strings rather than variants. As Rayad was saying, that there is no clear mechanism apparently to sort of do this separately. So I think let's take it as a if you're okay with that, what I could suggest is let's all take it as a homework to see if we can encode it into the XML in a way that we can actually highlight this as a similarity issue. And the reason for that is that, as I said, that we've really not done a similarity analysis. We've done a variant analysis. So once we start doing similarity analysis, there may be other things which may come up. So if we actually have a clearer mechanism which can separately handle similarity issues, we can sort of start adding those kind of things into that particular, through that mechanism, and use that to, you know, warn the communities that these can potentially cause harm. And then if we cannot find another mechanism, then obviously one mechanism which we already obviously have is to somehow use the variant of mechanism to address these. But in any case, if we can find a cleaner solution, again, as I said, that's my personal opinion at this time. maybe it's better to keep variants and similarity issues as separate. But let's see if we can do some homework and see whether it can be encoded separately using the LGR structure given in the RFC 7940, and see if we can develop a mechanism. If we cannot, then we can look at the possibility which currently exists. Would that be an okay way to proceed? Right?
Yes, this is Raed. Yes, I will take another look at the RFC and try to find if there is some kind that we can address this issue other than variant. And if I find something, I will get back to you. If I couldn't find, then I will also get back to you saying there is no way. If there is a way or even direct or indirect way, I will try to solve it other than variant. So I agree with you. No problem.
Right. And I think that's probably homework for all of us, not just, I guess, Fahid, that let's go and look at RFC for the LGR and see what would be a way to encode security issues like the one we are facing here and whether it can be separated from the variant issues or not. But I think generally otherwise we're all in agreement that this is an issue which needs to be addressed and pointed out through the LGRs, and if it can be done. Okay, so then I think we are probably done with the call. Is there anybody else who wants to add anything?
No, thank you, Dr. Simon.
Thank you, Sharma.
Okay, so then thank you all.
Thank you, Sharma.
Thank you, Dr. Sharma. Thank you all. Thank you, Malina.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you, Mia.